I'm excited about our guest that we have tonight. She is just a wonderful woman. I've known her, I think, probably almost a year, and got to know her through a team we were on called Celebrate Moms. She was my mentor in Celebrate Moms, and I really grew to love her, not only because of her personality, but she's a woman with a lot of wisdom. And her name is Sandy McEwen. And Sandy is a wife. She's a mother of five children. She has two grandchildren, and she's the mentor of many. It's a group that she's with. I think that's a great tip for a parent with an autistic child to help them associate those shoes with where they're going.
Yeah.
I love that.
Thank you. Thank you. And you can, you know, you just learn to adapt whatever area they're struggling with. You just have to, you know, take a moment, sit back and think about this. Okay, how can I help him understand this in a nonverbal way?
Right. It's almost like you have to try to think differently, think outside the box.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Our God is so good about helping us do that.
Yeah.
He really is. As we ask him for wisdom, he loves to give it generously.
Yeah.
And speaking of his temper tantrums, that makes me think about discipline. And how do you discipline an autistic child?
Very carefully. You know, discipline was not something we thought would we discipline or if we discipline. It was a definite thing because God says we're to discipline our children because we love them.
Right.
And we love our children with special needs just as much as we do our so-called normal children. So these children need to be disciplined as well.
Right.
And but we had to be very careful that he wasn't misunderstanding what he had been instructed and then get disciplined for not understanding what
right.
the communication was. So I remember we had a room at the front of the house called the den, and we had a couch in there, and it would often be quiet in that front room. And I remember the first time I disciplined him, I took him in that room, and I told him, couch, sit on the couch, and I stayed in that room with him and made him sit there.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, it got to the point where all I had to do was point the room and say, couch, because he understood, you know, you were doing something wrong,
right.
Now you're going to sit and time out, you know, and
right.
we would make him sit and time out according to his age, you know, if he was four, he sat for 4 minutes.
Right.
And I knew one time that he was understanding that it was discipline when I served something for supper. He took one look at it and refused to taste it
mm-hmm.
and looked up at me with his big blue eyes and said, couch? And I said, go ahead. And he took off running for that couch. He sat there the whole time while we ate supper. He would rather sit on the couch and eat that food. Now, I'm not the greatest cook, but this kid's not a dummy either, you know.
That's right.
He didn't want to eat that stuff.
That's amazing. And it really goes to show you that he did have a sense of right and wrong. And so, and the way you disciplined was in a loving way. And I love it when a child knows what to expect. Like, I always try to, in disciplining my children, let them know if you choose this behavior, then this will be your consequence. So predict it every time. If this is what you choose, this is what you can expect. And it really helps them have that stability of not thinking, oh, mom's going to fly off the handle, you know.
Right.
And
right.
not to say I've never yelled at my children, but I really don't yell too much. It's mainly, okay, this is what you did, help them see what they did, and then say, now, here's what you get for that. And it just seems like the couch is what he understood, and
absolutely.
It really seemed to have worked well with him.
It did. It did.
Well, how stressful was this on your family?
Well, I would say it was pretty stressful. I relate it to if you have a truck full of eggs in the back end, you're driving along on a bumpy road, and you have a truck full of eggs in the back, and each of those eggs is a representation of each family member, and then finances and time and job and all the different aspects of your family. We were on a bumpy road, and then a storm came along and crashed a tree down in front of our truck, and the tree's name was Autism. When we got out to look at the tree, mm-hmm. we looked back in the back of the truck, and all of our eggs were cracked.
Wow.
Each of our families, name, you know, each of our children had the stress of it. Our
right.
finances, our time, our marriage, all of it was cracked. And we had to deal with all of those stresses as well as the autism. We had to learn about autism. Could we move this tree? Is this curable? What do we do with it, you know? And eventually got the tree whittled, so to speak, got the tree whittled down enough, built our own service trailer to pull behind our truck, moved the tree to the back of the service trailer, and started towing it along on our bumpy road while we're trying to heal cracked eggs.
Right. Did you buy any new chickens?
No.
Maybe that would have helped a little bit.
In all of this, because Tad had been having night terrors for 3 years, I was pretty exhausted. Even when my husband was home on those nights, he would try to take our autistic son to give me some relief and get some sleep, but he screamed even harder. Autistic children want the same thing the same way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just left it at that, and I would just keep getting up. But after 3 years of not sleeping, I was pretty depressed.
Right.
And so at one point in all of this, these struggles, I just kind of slipped into a pit of depression.
Right.
And one day I traveled to an autism seminar about 3 hours away from our home. And at the last day of the seminar, I was sitting listening to a very interesting speaker when I heard the words, "I will bring you out of your pit."
Mm-hmm.
And I looked around me and trying to figure out who had said those words.
Right.
And everybody was listening to the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked again toward the speaker and just started resumed listening to the speaker. And a little bit later, I heard the words again,
mm-hmm.
"I will bring you out of your pit."
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little slow, and I just prayed the one-word prayer. I prayed, "Lord," and the words repeated themselves, "I will bring you out of your pit." So I just calmly thanked my Lord for his promise and returned listening to the speaker. I didn't get too excited. I was just in the midst of listening to a speaker, wasn't too emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So later that day, it was time to drive home, and the fog was the thickest I've ever seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I could only see headlights from oncoming traffic when they were right up next to me. It was that thick.
Right.
And my husband had told me to buy a map so that I could maneuver on these roads easily, and I had ignored his advice because I saved a whole dollar. And so I was trying to find my way home in this fog, and the fog was so thick, I felt so alone. So I was trying to find a radio station that was familiar to me, and I came across a station that was just finishing a song that I recognized, and it was, as it faded down, the announcer came on the air and said, "The verse for today is Psalm 40, verse 2, and he read, 'He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand.'" And then the channel went to static again.
I love that.
And
it makes me think that radio program might have been out of heaven.
Amen. And I just started crying. It was such a confirmation to me.
Yes.
And then a little bit farther down on the road, the fog cleared totally, instantaneously. And the sun was shining, but it was shining on the wrong side of my face. I was going the wrong direction. I had missed my exit.
Oh, no.
And it was a life application lesson for me immediately. because I realized right away I hadn't brought a map, so I was getting lost. And in my depression, I wasn't reading my life's map, my Bible.
That's good.
And I was getting lost.
That's good.
So when the sun shined, S-O-N, the sun was shining. It had been there the whole time, but in my fog, I couldn't see him.
Right. On that note, I'm going to go to a song by Carol Brewer.